Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
I went to a premiere last night, the Martin reunion, if you're familiar with the Martin show, but I doubt it, you're Canadian. But I talked to I saw one of my high school classmates there, mm-hmm. and she just got over her second bout with COVID, and she said both times put her through hell.
Oh, God. That was what I was worried about, of getting it a second time. And I knew between, even if I got a booster, but with the antibodies from getting COVID, like at a certain point it was going to run out, right?
Yeah.
And for work, we are still around people.
Yes.
It's not like we get to work from
You're
home.
In my face right now.
I am.
And you heard about 80-year-old Fauci.
Yes, we're about to talk uh-huh. about that. But, you know, going to events, there's lots of conferences still happening. Gotta work. And I knew, I was like, it's inevitable that I'm going to get it again. And my biggest worry was
now,
that
why
I
would
was,
you affirm that?
I think it was just like based on practicality. Because
okay.
every conference I'm at, everyone else gets it. I've been the only one to not get it because of my antibodies.
Are these conferences, do they require proof of vax or anyone,
I mean,
come one, come all?
Even though it's the conference, there's so many parties outside of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
pop-up stuff. So I'm not happy I got it, but I feel like it made me, I'm like not... released my anxiety.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
I could say because it wasn't as bad. That said, be careful out there because it's going around.
Yes.
Okay, that's it.
Glad you're well and glad you're COVID free.
Exactly. I did lots of tests before coming here. Don't you worry.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot coming up. We're giving away some tickets.
Oh, yes. Now, listen, shout out to, there were a few people yesterday. There was Sergio, there was Anthony, there was
yes.
Martin. People called in and I gave away the Demi Lovato tickets. You got to keep listening, though, to know when it's time for you to pull up to the speaker
okay.
and listen to me give out the number, because I got more tickets to give out today.
I love it.
Demi will be here in LA performing at the YouTube Theater on September 28th. So yeah, that's coming up later in the show.
Love it. All right. And I want to hear your voice. I missed your voices. So call in. today, we're going to be covering Biden's new executive order and how it impacts the LGBTQ community. This is really great. We're going to touch on that in a minute. Plus next hour, how universal healthcare could it have changed the results, the COVID results here in the U.S.? That is...
I imagine it
yeah,
could have.
Something that a lot of people are talking about right now. Let's get into some what's trending this hour, though. Joe Biden, as I mentioned, signed an executive order to fight the wave of anti-LGBTQ plus bills being spewed by Republican state legislators. The order will direct federal agencies to expand access to gender-affirming health care, deliver inclusive curriculums, and stamp out queer homelessness.
Today, I'm about to sign an executive order that directs key federal agencies to protect our communities from those hateful attacks and advance equality for families. No one knows better than the people in this room. We have a lot more work to do. I don't have to tell you about the ultra-MAGA agenda attacking families and our freedoms. 300 discriminatory bills introduced in states across this country. In Texas, knocking on front doors to harass and investigate parents who are raising transgender children. In Florida, going after Mickey Mouse, for God's sake.
Now, Biden's order will create a new federal committee to lead data gathering efforts to give officials clearer insight into LGBTQ plus demographics in the states as well. We have more on this coming up in 10 minutes. Now, as we learned yesterday, COVID vaccines for children are under review, but DeSantis says Florida will not provide state programs to administer vaccinations for toddlers or infants, making Florida the only state to do this. He added, quote, "These are the people who have zero risk of getting anything." Speaking of COVID-19, Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, you mentioned him. Well, he has tested positive for COVID.
Crazy. That's
yeah.
so wild.
At 81 years old, he's fully vaccinated, double boosted. He's currently only experiencing mild symptoms. And he also says, or the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says, Dr. Fauci will isolate and continue to work from his home. He has not recently been in close contact with President Biden or other senior government
officials.
I must
say, I didn't even know double boosted was an option.
People, I think, yeah, at a certain age, you're allowed to
do
the next
he's
boost.
81. Woo.
He's working hard.
Please be careful, Anthony Fauci. The icon.
Exactly. That was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news?
Oh, my gosh. So, Shira, you weren't here yesterday.
I did see this on social media.
But, you know, yesterday marked my 8-year LA-versary.
Oh, I didn't know
okay?
that.
Yes.
I know.
You're killing my tea, sis. So yesterday, I got the biggest gift, one of the best gifts known to man or woman or non-binary person.
People.
I was minding my business at the premiere party, and then everybody lost their minds because it was revealed that Queen Bee Beyonce is dropping new music. That's right. Beyonce will be back with a brand new album on Ryan's birthday, July 29th. 16 tracks. Now, I should mention, now, Beyonce had merch on her site. Only Beyonce can get us to buy compact discs. Like, no one has a CD player. But they're four different designs, but she hasn't revealed what they are. And so, because I'm loyal in the Beehive, I've been in the Beehive since 1999 when I saw the four girls from Houston in the beauty salon singing about paying bills. People have been buying them. I bought set number four. I don't know what the merch looks like. I don't know what the disc looks like. I can show you an
example. It is a disc, though?
Yeah, you get a box and a shirt, but it's like mystery. That's what I'm saying. You don't know what you're getting. And so the Hive, I just dropped $50 at Beyonce.com, you know, because, I mean, I got to support my girl. And I've been desperately needing some new Beyonce pumping through my veins that's non-Lion King related. I need Beyonce, right? So I'm very excited about this. And it's titled Renaissance Part 1, which leads me to believe that maybe it's the beginning of a series. So, and
I just got the chills.
And I should mention, Beyonce is on the cover of British Vogue. And because I'm in the Beehive and I look out for clues, there's lots of disco balls. So I wonder if she's going to give us something to dance to.
Oh, I'm sure.
No more lemonading. We're about to be on the dance floor
again. I love that. Yes. Any way to dance, I'm in.
That's the tea report for this hour. Y'all want to stick around because I got some hot messes coming up for you next hour.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. I can tell you. And I got Demi ticks.
Love it. Well, up next, we're talking about Biden's plan to protect LGBTQ plus youth, what we can expect from this executive order next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Well, big news is President Biden has launched a plan to protect trans youth and the LGBTQ community. The executive order will call on HHS to clarify that federally funded programs cannot offer conversion therapy, among other initiatives.
Right now, there are young people sitting in their bedroom, doors closed, silent, scrolling through social media, staring at the ceiling, wondering if they'll ever be loved, ever marry. My message to all the young people, just be you. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You do belong. And I want you to know that as your president, all of us on this stage have your back.
Back with us is political analyst and someone who fills in as co-host
a friend of the show.
Yeah, Ryan Basham. Welcome back.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me back.
Yes, and this is a big deal, isn't it? Is this the saving grace we've been waiting for?
It is a big deal. I would hesitate to call it a saving grace because it's an executive order. And the reason why we don't... So people get mad at the president a lot for not doing things by executive order, you know? And the reason why a good president takes so long to do things and avoids doing things by executive order is that A, executive orders are much easier to be challenged in court by, you know, opposing groups. And B, the moment a new president comes in, they can rescind that order. So it's different than passing a law, which is permanent unless repealed by Congress. So I wouldn't say saving grace. However, it is a huge step forward. So for as long as Biden is president, the federal government will prevent anybody using federal funding for healthcare services to use conversion therapy. It directs the federal government to expand access to gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth wherever possible. And really importantly, it directs the federal government to collect data on LGBTQ people and treatment and all of that stuff. And it's virtually impossible to pass meaningful legislation without solid data. So this sets up, you know, future Congresses to win in terms of passing meaningful legislation that protects LGBTQ people, especially LGBTQ youth. And one other thing I'll say, as of yesterday, Joe Biden is the first sitting president in American history to openly, explicitly mention violence against trans women of color. No president has ever done that before. So in many ways, it is a big day.
Interesting, especially, you know, of color. It's always sticky to me because I'm black, you know, so of color.
You feel like when you see people of color, you should say black.
But I feel, well, no, because there are people of color, brown and black people, but I think that there's this overarching fear to say black. Just say black. Because that's who the violence is affecting.
Yeah.
Ryan, so according to GLAAD, anti-trans bills have doubled, really, since last year. I'm interested in knowing, does this executive order, is it directed specifically towards trans youth, or does it cover everyone? The L, the G, the B, the Q, I, A, the plus.
It is directed specifically toward trans non-binary youth, although there's a limit to what the federal government can force states to do. And so, in a way, what this does is it sets up a more direct battle between the federal government and state governments over jurisdictional things and who has the power to enforce what. And so what's probably going to happen now is, insofar as the federal government tries to provide, say, gender-affirming care to people in Florida or Texas, where the state has banned those things, there could be a lot of legal battles over who has the right to do what. So it is specifically about trans youth, but it is also not a silver bullet either, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So when will this be signed and put in place? I know from this article in Politico, they say he's going to sign it with different youth around him who've been impacted by these bills from Florida and Texas.
For all intents and purposes, the impacts of this executive order are already underway, but, you know, that means that it will take a while because an executive order becomes, you know, hundreds of pages of policy at a given, agency within the government, because it takes them time to turn that executive order into something they can actually functionally do.
Yeah.
So that process has already begun, but it will be a while before we can see direct results of it for the most part, because it takes a lot of time to figure out, you know, procedures and how we do this legally and effectively. And those are just people who are at work. They're bureaucrats, but they're trying to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. So that'll take a little time to see. But for all intents and purposes, they're already doing the work to get it going.
Well, Ryan, as a political pundit and analyst, I have to know, how are you projecting? Do you foresee these bills against trans people slowing down anytime soon?
No, they're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. Now, this year, there will be more legislators and governors trying to use LGBTQ people and trans people in particular as a wedge issue. By the time the 2024 presidential election cycle gets underway, which really means 2023, because that's when primary stuff will really start happening, it'll get even worse. And you'll see governors and legislative leaders on the state level go out of their way to hurt queer people in order to score points with their base. So, you know, we need to, you know, take a deep breath and know that it's a marathon, not a sprint, but start thinking now about how are we going to take action so that we are continuously fighting back. This will eventually be a wave that passes. You know, this happens in waves to us, but we have to do everything we can now to fight back as much of it as possible so that when this wave passes, the goalpost has moved in our direction, not in their direction. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Well, that was Ryan Basham. Thanks as always for joining us and breaking it all down.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Now, what's coming up next, Shar?
Coming up, could our drinking water be contaminated?
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
The Environmental Protection Agency warned Wednesday that a group of human-made chemicals found in drinking water, cosmetics, food packaging, and used by millions of Americans poses a greater danger to human health than we previously thought. This is getting so... It's a lot going on, Shira.
Yeah.
But luckily, we have Dino, who is an environmental policy reporter from The Washington Post, here to break it all down for us. Hi, Dino.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, thanks for joining us. So exactly what are these chemicals and what threats do they pose to humans consuming them?
Yeah, so we call these chemicals PFAS, which is an acronym for a real mouthful, polyfluoroalkyl and perfluoroalkyl substances.
Ooh.
But they're sometimes called forever chemicals. And the reason they're called that is because they are incredibly durable. They last in the environment and in our bodies for a very, very long time. And it's, you know, that durability that really gave them commercial value. They have been used in nonstick cookware, in flame retardant equipment, and in water repellent fabrics. Chemical companies have found a lot of really, you know, important uses for these chemicals. But, you know, in more recent years, we've discovered that when we, ingest them and, you know, get them into our body, they have all these really bad health impacts.
Mm. And what does that include exactly? Like, how would you know if you've been impacted by this or you don't? It's that subtle.
Yeah, so what the EPA is saying here is that when it comes to at least this handful of four of these chemicals, it can have health effects at very, very low levels when consumed over one's lifetime. So, you know, these include links to several different types of cancer, thyroid disease, infertility, and decreased birth weight.
So why did it take just until recently to determine just how harmful these things are?
Well, you know, our government moves pretty slowly, unfortunately.
True.
And yeah, so our government moves slowly. And these chemicals are not regulated even after all the research that we've been able to do on them. All the EPA is saying here is, like, here are some of the health effects we know that these chemicals can have. But they still haven't taken the step, at least at the federal level, to actually mandate that water utilities get this stuff out of our drinking water.
Mm. That's really frightening because, I try to make sure my water is filtered. But, you know, sometimes you're thirsty and you got to drink some water.
I got my Brita.
Out of the faucet, but sometimes you just don't have that around.
Oh, no, like, I've never done that, in L.A. at least.
How bad is it? You know, are there certain cities that are better than other cities? Like, how bad is it just to have water here and there? Or I guess, like, we are washing our food in it. Can you explain, like, the day-to-day of this and, like, what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing?
Yeah, no, certainly there are some communities that are far more impacted by this, by PFAS contamination than others. You know, among the worst hit are communities near military bases, because one of the uses of this is in a firefighting foam. You know, to put out a jet fuel fire, you need a really powerful extinguisher. And, you know, for years, a PFAS-laden foam was used to do that. So that stuff seeped into the groundwater and eventually made it its way into the drinking water of some of these towns that are near military bases. But, you know, these communities aren't the only ones that have been impacted.
I'm interested in knowing, since there's no regulation on these things, do we have a rough estimate of how many of these chemicals exist? And do they mutate? Is there a chance for, like, two of them to combine and become a super chemical?
Well, I'm not a chemist. I can't answer that question, but I can say that there are thousands of different PFAS out there.
Ooh.
And, you know, these health advisories that the EPA came out with concern just four. Four of the most well-known and common and best-studied ones, but still just four of them, you know. And, we should be expecting a little bit more action soon from the administration. They tell us that they're going to come out with some regulation, you know, the first regulation ever for PFAS this fall. They're going to unveil it, but it's going to take a little while for them to actually finalize it and then to actually start, you know, cracking down on water companies that are in violation.
Well, wouldn't this be under the infrastructure bill, like Pete Buttigieg? Like, to fix this all? Or no?
Yeah. Well, you know, the infrastructure bill does play a role in this. So one thing the Biden administration announced this week is that it is offering up $1 billion in grants to states and to tribes to, improve their water treatment facilities and get this stuff, get PFAS and other stuff out of our water. So that's coming out of the bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Okay.
And, and there'll be another $4 billion out of that over the next several years. But, we might need a lot more money than just that.
So with that, since it's not being fixed anytime soon, what tips do you have? Like, what are we supposed to do and what is accessible, right? Is it just getting a Brita filter? Like, what do we do?
You know, I someone else asked me that today about a Brita filter, and, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I would encourage people to talk to, you know, specialists in their area.
Yeah.
I talked to one woman who lives in North Carolina this week, in a water district with contamination, who installed a reverse osmosis system under her sink. You know, those can be a little pricey, but... You know, that's the steps some people are taking.
Like, don't tell me we live in a first world country, you know, with our rights being taken away and the water being contaminated. What the?
Well, you know, they say America is nothing but, I know third world is considered politically incorrect, but a third world country in a Gucci belt.
Not even a real one.
You know, I mean, it's interesting you guys are saying that, too, because, you know, these chemicals are coming from some products that, like, you know, several decades ago were regarded as really innovative, like things like Teflon, right?
Yeah.
You know, nonstick pan was something everyone wanted at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was this, you know, I guess you could call first world innovation that we realize now has a lot of these really bad consequences.
That's why I use natural products. Don't use things and put it in the water, your drain. It'll end up in our water.
Products.
I try to use like face wash, like
do you
the tampons. I try to put in the
deodorant.
I use natural deodorant now.
Oh, girl, don't do that.
No, it's a good one.
Oh, okay.
I've tried all of them. Anyway, all right.
Thanks so much for joining us, Dino. Such an informative conversation. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both so much for having me on.
Oh, yes. Coming up next, should elephants have human rights? What this court has to say after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Should animals be protected under human rights? Well, this Bronx Zoo elephant named Happy doesn't seem to be very happy right now.
Yeah.
And the Non-Human Rights Project challenged the Bronx Zoo's confinement of this elephant after several of her companions died. She and Patty, who's the other elephant.
So Happy and Patty.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do not get along. This seems like it's like the beginning of like some sort of movie. Like what's like
it's
the old
Ryan Murphy feud.
Yeah, or
about
like
Betty Davis and Joan.
Or like the two old men that don't get along. I don't know, that was a really old movie.
Or Death Becomes Her with Meryl Streep
Something
and Goldie
like
Hawn.
They're the only two remaining elephants at the zoo and they don't get along. The advocacy group argued that the situation was cruel confinement. And Happy, you know, as an elephant, elephants are very intelligent.
Very intelligent.
They said that she should be able to sue under what's called the habeas corpus rights against improper detention. Well, it seems like this judge didn't have it. This person said nothing. Should I say who this person's name is? Say her name. Janet DeFiore, who doesn't seem to like animals, said nothing in our precedent or, in fact, that of any other state or federal court provides support for the notion that the writ of habeas corpus is or should be applicable to non-human animals.
Okay, that's a weird way of saying humans. This is a strange story because there's tons of humans who don't even have access to human rights.
Yeah,
so it's interesting to see people going to bat for an elephant. I do really feel for the elephants, though, because if they're not getting along, you know, they probably need to be separated. I came across a fascinating story on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all of the details, but some of the bullet points. I believe this happened in India. So an elephant allegedly killed this woman.
Okay.
Stomped her out or whatever. Killed her, right? And elephants have incredible memories, and they are very, very smart. So at the woman's funeral, the elephant showed back up and stomped out her corpse. Now, I got to get the details. Maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow because it's a Friday show. But I got to get the details. But I saw some of the bullet points because people have been photoshopping a picture of Oprah Winfrey in an interview chair sitting across from an elephant in an interview chair. And they're like, I don't know. I got to hear the elephant
side of the story.
We want the scoop.
You know, something happened in this life or a past life. That's all I'm saying.
They have incredible memories. What did you do, lady?
Don't mess with an elephant.
That's terrible, though.
You know, so listen, I don't maybe use a human rights thing to protect this elephant.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, the zoo thing is very unethical. We all know this. There's a way to have a space for animals for us to enjoy them in a better environment.
And I feel guilty because I am someone who does enjoy going to the zoo. I've never been to in LA, but when I was in Hawaii last year, I went to the Honolulu Zoo and I had a great time. And I'm a big aquarium girl too, but I'm also like free the animals, but they're still just so majestic and fascinating to me.
Of course. Whenever I do go or I get asked to go, I just feel bad. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be here. This is wrong.
Yeah, I feel like that, too, especially if they're really, really confined. Or, you know, the leopard doesn't want to come out. You're at the leopard cage, but the leopard doesn't want to come out.
Leopard's like, F you.
Yeah.
This sucks. This is not what I signed up for. Okay, well, up next, more top-of-the-hour news, including what major company may be revoking gender-affirming health care to employees. Don't go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Yes, Shira and Char here in the studio, back together.
Yes, the two S's, the two S's.
We love it.
Yes.
We love to hear it.
I'm very excited because coming up in just a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving away some Demi Lovato tickets.
Oh.
You won't know when, but keep listening. Pull that ear up to the speaker.
Do it. Make sure you don't blow your eardrums.
Yes, please be safe.
Okay, we're also talking about universal health care in 15 minutes and how it could have helped during the pandemic. We're also going to be talking about why investors are putting their money into the environment and will it actually pay off? That is later this hour. First, let's get into some what's trending this hour right now. Stuart Delary, a longtime advocate for LGBTQ rights, will be the first openly LGBTQ person to serve as White House counsel when he assumes the position next month. Now, he was appointed acting associate attorney general, the Justice Department's number three position in 2012, and that became actually the highest ranking LGBTQ official in the department's history. Mm. And this actually seems to be part of the administration's shakeup ahead of the midterms. The appointment is also one of a number of elevations of LGBTQ people to very high-profile roles in the administration, including Karine Jean-Pierre, who's the first openly gay White House press secretary, and as we know, Admiral Rachel Levine, the first openly trans person as assistant health secretary.
Yeah.
So a lot of good moves right there. Now, this is a bit disappointing. Well, a lot disappointing. Starbucks store managers have allegedly informed employees that its gender-affirming health care benefits could disappear if employees unionize. This is
a horrible
way of threatening folks, yes. An employee at a Starbucks in Oklahoma claimed her manager told her, quote, just know that if you unionize when you are negotiating your benefits, you could gain, you could lose, or you could stay the same.
Is that a threat? I guess that is a threat.
Union Workers United accuses the company of attempting to prevent its employees from organizing.
Mm. Really, everyone's following Amazon's lead as far as like unionizing, because workers need to be protected. If anything, the pandemic really showed us that. Unions are a good thing in a lot of cases.
And if anything, it's going to push companies in, like, I think it's going to be challenging for companies because they're not set up like that, but push them to a better place.
And unions hold companies accountable because companies can be abusive.
It's true.
And oftentimes are.
Yep. Now, speaking of executives and billionaires, well, Elon Musk is talking about who he's going to vote for. I just can't. When asked on Twitter early Wednesday morning who he was leaning towards in the presidential election, he replied simply, I feel like I need to breathe a bit before I say this. DeSantis. Mm-hmm.
Which is terrifying because you know what we can't take away from this is that Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. And we don't know what he can do with his. And if he owns Twitter, if that ends up going through, we don't know what he can do with his resources and his money as far as backing and amplifying DeSantis's voice. And I'm so sick of people like Elon Musk wrapping their cowardly traits and their conservatism under this whole free speech crap, because it's deeper than that. Just say it like you mean it, Elon. I can't stand him.
Yeah, it's very ignorant, actually. Everything that they are reacting around are around things that they just completely don't understand. Like, they are not friends. Whoever they're attacking, whoever they're
calling out. They don't want equity. They are shaking in their boots because they want to uphold the power structures, the very harmful systems and power structures that this country has been founded on and been running on for hundreds of years.
It's under also the guise of, like, libertarianism, right?
Yeah, it's BS.
Anyway, so when asked about Musk's support, DeSantis said this. This week on Inside Web 3.
Oh, that's my promo. That wasn't DeSantis.
Or was it?
Hey. Here it is. We're about to play it. Just finding it.
We can play it next hour if we need
to. But Musk also tweeted, I voted for Mayra Flores, first time I ever voted Republican, who won the election, unseating a longtime Democrat. So it seems like he's just turned Republican.
No. Not buying it. I need to see voting records, but let's get into the T report. Yeah. Really quickly, Sammy Sheen, who is the daughter of Charlie and Denise Richards, got the parents feuding, child. Sammy Sheen is on OnlyFans now. Did you know this, Shira?
I saw a headline on Instagram, but it was a very teasing, like, where Charlie Sheen said, this was not my decision, not under my roof or something.
So
like that.
Here's the thing. Page Six reported on Monday that Sammy had joined OnlyFans, which is known for its nude or partially nude photos and videos, and that she said she would be sharing, you know, content about 2 to 3 times a week, in addition to privately chatting with her paying subscribers. Now, Denise Richards says Sammy is 18, and this decision wasn't based on whose house she lives in at all. All I can do is parent and guide her and to trust her judgment, but she makes her own choices.
Yeah.
So Denise says that, but Charlie, you're right. Charlie shot back and said, listen, she's 18 years old and she's living with her mother. This did not occur under my roof. I do not condone this. But since I'm unable to prevent it, I've urged her to keep it classy, creative, and not sacrifice her integrity. So that's some thinly veiled shots right there. I wonder what's going to come of this. And you know what my mom would have said? At 18, not in my house. You do what you want, but not in my house.
My mom was worried that I was going to be on OnlyFans when I just tweeted, like, what do people think about OnlyFans? It's fascinating. And literally, we had multiple calls of her calling me up being like, are you going to be on OnlyFans? Like, literally freaking out. And she might be listening to this. I'm sorry, but like freaking out to the point where I actually wanted to record it because I thought it'd be an entertaining video. But, you know, because my boyfriend and I do joke around a lot about OnlyFans. Just we always come up with ideas.
Really, Shira?
We do. So listen, good for her, but it's true. At that age, you're still growing
up. You're still
up.
Developing.
Still
your frontal cortex isn't even fully developed. But you know what? She's a sheen, so she doesn't really have to worry about her future. You know? She'll be carried based off her last name and who
doesn't
her parents
mean she
are.
She doesn't want her own money.
Whatever.
All right.
All right, you all, pull on in. Channel Q has your chance to see Demi Lovato September 28th at LA's YouTube Theater, which, as I told you all yesterday, I saw a concert there, and there is not a bad seat in the house. You want to pull out your phone and call right now, 833-772-2557. That's 833-772-2557 for your chance to see them on their Royal and the Serpent tour. We'll have your chance to win these tickets all week, but if you want to see Demi, you better call now. That's the T Report for this hour, and we got more great show for you coming up. Stick around.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
A new study claims that Medicare for All could have saved more than 200,000 lives during the pandemic. The country would have also saved $105 billion in pandemic-related healthcare costs. So, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Back with us is Dr. Imesh Adalja from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, infectious diseases expert. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, if we know this and the data is there, what's going on? Why aren't we implementing this?
Well, I think it's important to actually go into what the study showed.
Let's do it.
What it didn't show was that a socialized healthcare system is a way to prevent deaths. What it showed is when people lose insurance because there is a shutdown and their insurance is tied to their jobs, worse outcomes can happen. And that's a pretty obvious statement, that when people don't have the ability to see doctors, they're going to be less likely to get vaccinated. They're going to be less likely to do well. But I think it's a mistake to think of our system currently, which is kind of a mix between socialized medicine and some free market aspects, as, you know, as an ideal system. It has kind of the worst of both worlds. And I think we have to really address why, you know, one of the biggest factors in that study was people's insurance being tied to their job. Why is that? And that's not something that the free market created. It's actually because the way the government tax code works, it's tax deductible for someone to get insurance. For an employer to provide health insurance to their employees, versus if an employee wants to buy health insurance on their own, that's not tax deductible. So they created a system that gave us kind of the worst of all worlds.
We've reported on stories in the past about people being charged in the hospital for crying, or, you know, $1,000 for Tylenol, and just the cost. According to this study, this cumulative chart, how are we holding up against other countries that do have universal health care?
So it depends on where you look. So if you look at the per capita deaths from COVID-19, England, for example, Canada, Italy, all have lower per capita deaths. But if you look at England and Italy, it's not very much different than the United States. And the United States didn't fare the worst, and it didn't fare the best. And I think what's happened is that because we've got this kind of mixed system here, we have a lot of constraints. So, for example, one of the things the study talks about is hospital capacity. Hospital capacity is not something that the market controls. It's something the government controls, because if you want to expand beds in your hospital, you have to petition the state government to say, can I have more beds in my hospital? All of that creates a lot of friction. And then you have the fact that insurance is basically controlled by the government, even though it's nominally private. It has so many controls and restrictions on it that you end up with a situation where people are priced out of the insurance market, and people have to rely on their employers. And I don't think that's the best way to think about this. I think the key thing would be to get more people insured, regardless of where it's coming from. And it's not something where I think that socializing the healthcare system is the solution. And there's people with different opinions. I obviously, as you can tell, I'm a little bit more on the I'm completely on the market side of this. And I just think that a lot of the problems that we have will not necessarily be solved by socializing the medical system. However, what we have now is a far cry from anything ideal. And as I said before, it's kind of the worst of all worlds. We have the worst of the socialized medicine aspect of it, and then we have the worst, and then we have kind of, because it's mixed, we don't actually have, we don't know what the market would do, because it's not really a free market. It's very, very controlled. And as a doctor that works in it, it is not an easy system. And I think that there is a need for massive reform, but I don't know that that one solution being posited is actually really a solution in the long term.
But like, will we invest in another option so we don't lose this much money and this many lives in the future?
Well, I think we have to do that. I think that they have to think about trying to empower patients. Right now, most people's healthcare is not in their own control. It's their employer's control.
Yeah.
Why can't we make insurance premiums? If you go and buy an insurance premium on your own, why can't that be tax deductible? Why should you have to wait for your employer to get it? I think that's one of the things. We need to make insurance more affordable. It needs to be sold across state lines. We have to expand healthcare savings accounts. We have to get better at hospitals, expand scope of practice for nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants.
It also
drive the cost down.
It shouldn't just rely on the employers, because a lot of people, it's the gig economy. A lot of people are like contractors or freelance.
I'm a permalancer.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
We need to have an option for so many people who aren't employed. We can't just rely on employers, I feel, but that's...
Yeah, exactly. So if this was tax deductible to someone that's in the gig market, that would be something that they would just buy and write off as a business expense. But you can't do that unless you have a corporation or a company of your own and you incorporate it.
Yeah.
So if you're just a person who goes from job to job, you can't tax it. It's not tax deductible. So it's very disadvantageous for you to buy health insurance or even to be empowered by it. So I think, you know, there's so many disincentives in our system that this paper, you know, the finding is kind of obvious, but it's very simplistic. And I think it ignores the fact that what we have in the United States is this mongrel system that...
Yeah.
Is just kind of uniquely bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was Dr. Umesh Adalja from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Thank you, as always, for jumping in. All right. What's coming up next?
Coming up next, why do investors suddenly care about the environment? I want to know, don't you?
Money, money, money.
Okay.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Biodiversity loss could flatten corporate profits. And we oftentimes talk about, you know, our green footprint.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Greta Thunberg. But now
of
investors.
Course. She encompasses all of it.
Every time I think about the environment, I think of Greta.
She is the face of the movement.
She is the face.
She has been.
Well, now I'm kind of shaking in my boots because investors are now scrambling to figure out what holds and what doesn't. Luckily, we have Benji Jones, environmental reporter over at Vox, here to help us iron all of this out. Hi, Benji.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Okay, so let's break this down. Why are investors suddenly caring about saving the environment? And what does something like that even look like?
Yeah, okay. So this is a complicated topic, but it's super important. And basically, you can think about it in that the economy that kind of runs the world, corporations, et cetera, a lot of their profits are very closely tied to nature.
Ooh,
to animal.
We can't really hear you. Don't move. Make sure you're in a good place for signal.
Yeah, you're clicking in and out.
How about now? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, just, I think.
Yeah,
I might have to
go ahead.
Back, but yeah.
All right. I'm sorry about that. So basically, what I was mentioning is that our economy and companies are deeply embedded in nature. And so ecosystems and animals actually help companies make value. And you can think about an example of a food company. So let's say a company that sells chocolate bars. They rely on insects to pollinate their cacao, their cocoa plants, which they obviously need to sell to make money. And if you imagine insects declining, and we're seeing that lots of insects are declining, that means that they might not have the pollinators that they need to make their chocolate in the first place. So basically, this idea is that a lot of corporate profits are very closely tied to what's happening out in nature, out in ecosystems, And if that nature starts to decline, then you could also see profits start to decline. And that's where this concern among investors comes in, because investors care, as you can imagine, a lot about money.
Yeah, and I feel like this is such a dumb moment. It's like, okay, if the world is falling apart, you won't be able to create the things that you want to create that make you money. You know, like, I thought investors look ahead at the future. Why have they not seen this coming?
That is a good question. So I think on the climate change side of things, it's been a lot. There's been a lot more progress. Like, probably, but I mean, we're still only talking like a decade or so that investors have really started to factor in climate-related risks. I think part of it is that biodiversity and the way that ecosystems work is just a lot more, or seemingly a lot more complicated, right? So you have these very intricate systems with different animals that interact with each other. Some of them are declining, other ones are not. And you also have a ton of different realms. So we're talking about the oceans, the forests, the lakes, and so forth, whereas the climate is, we can measure this in terms of one number, right? So like amount of CO2 you're emitting, for example. So I think part of it is just, it is really difficult. But I also would just say, like, biodiversity in general, and I see this in my own reporting, is just like not talked about as much at all relative to other issues.
Yeah, and speaking of the CO2 emissions, in the name of the carbon footprint, in theory, wouldn't investors have to ruin more of the environment while they're saving it at the same time?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by that?
Meaning the more you create, consumerism is directly, you know, us creating things and then selling it and all that. So it's like, it's hard to be an environmentalist if you're still connected to consumerism and creating things.
And flying your private jet.
I think that's 100% true. I think that's like a paradox that we don't talk a lot about. I think like you'll find many experts who don't think there's a capitalism that works for protecting nature, because as you mentioned, like, yes, we are producing emissions when we buy products. Obviously, there's like a whole green consumerism movement, and there are many startups, for example, that are working on alternative plastics or ways to capture carbon that now have value. So like there are alternatives, but very much so, like, I think that if you have deep roots in the financial system, you are probably not in general benefiting the environment.
So I guess, like, moving forward, what does this look like? What are they investing in? And will we be seeing more ethical business happening?
So I think in general, yes. I think the question is, like, how quickly is this going to happen? Scientists are really concerned about what's going on in nature and have been for a while and feel like their voices aren't heard. So I think, like, yes, it's going to happen. It might. There's a concern that it could be too late right now. And this is something that I've written about. Like, there are so many different popping up initiatives to try to take into consideration these financial risks that are tied to nature. And it's really confusing right now. Like, as someone who follows this field, like, I had a really hard time parsing through all these different acronyms and so forth, like, let alone the general public understanding this as well. So I think, like, it needs to get simplified a lot. And that is one of the first steps. But we are definitely seeing progress. And I think ultimately, the goal is to, like, to change some of the financial flows. And so if you can imagine a company that has a bigger environmental footprint might therefore have more risks associated with it, that is going to mean that investors might be less likely to put money into it or expect more returns. And so over time, that could redirect money towards like more biodiversity-friendly corporations. That's the theory. It's not clear that's how it's going to pan out.
And being a B Corp also helps that certification. There's new certifications,
We're having beehives on the roof of our building. But you know what, Benji?
it's a different bee in
real life.
No,
you know?
A B Corp, but I love that.
But yes, Benji, we want to thank you for joining us today for the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Of course. Shira, what's coming up next?
You know, the word bad, it's a word we use every day. I try not to use it that much. You know, I'm not perfect, though.
Girl.
It's a word we teach kids. It actually could be rooted in homophobia.
What?
Yeah, we're talking about that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
The word bad could be more bad than we thought.
Did you tell Michael Jackson that?
No.
He has a whole song titled Bad.
True. Well, according to these researchers, English experts, people that go back in the history to find the root of a word, they're called, I can't even say it, etymologists.
Okay.
There you go. I made it work. So they said that the word bad goes back to the Dark Ages, and it actually was the equivalent of a homophobic slur.
Yeah,
It stems from the word betel badling, an old English word meaning hermaphrodite or an effeminate man.
That is so interesting, only because, you know, back in those, in the Dark Ages specifically, a lot of, you know, LGBTQ people were still marginalized. But what I find so interesting about this is that was strictly through colonialism, because LGBT people were celebrated in certain Native American tribes in Yoruba and West Africa.
Oh, yeah,
Africa.
Just the English, the Old English, the Euro, the British.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. And I also wonder why it's geared towards, quote, an effeminate man. Because I've also been doing some, in the honor of Pride Month, I've been doing some research, and I found that in the UK a few decades ago, it was illegal for two men to be together, but for two women, that wasn't on the books.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it wasn't necessarily legal, but because there was no punishable, you know, law on the books, lesbians were allowed to roam in peace for the most part.
Why do you think that is?
I wonder. Hello, patriarchy.
Right?
So I find it interesting that this was a slur rooted in an effeminate man. And I also would venture to say, well, what did they say? What did they say back then for the opposite of good? Because there's dark and there's light. If maybe good and evil instead of good and bad.
Yeah, so anything, yeah, something was just, wrong.
I don't know.
I can't, what, oh, producer Shelby has something to say.
Yes, I was going to mention that it does say that in this article, that instead of using the word bad, they would use the word evil. And
that's a trigger word nowadays.
Yes, and like you mentioned, I mean, queer people have existed for all of time, and it says in the article that the Middle Ages were kind of a queer utopia, but despite that, it was really only the, like, upper class people that were using this slur, and that were homophobic. It was just
So there wasn't any
they were scared rich folks.
Yes.
There weren't any rich LGBT.
No, they were, but they were in the closet.
Yeah, they had to hide.
That is so
wild. They had to
wild.
Be in the darkness, in the bad place.
So bad.
Right.
That's interesting, that bad. And I'm also always interested in learning the origins of words. Like, you know, like the root.
Totally.
The root origin. You know, it's Latin and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by that. But this is interesting. You couldn't have paid me to believe this had you not provided this evidence in this article.
Thank God for Google.
Thank God for Google.
So don't use the word bad anymore. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's keep it good. Next up, more trending topics, including the Squid Games game show and how it is breaking a record next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Yes, welcome back. It's Shira with Shar in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Having a blast.
Oh, yes. We sound so enthused.
It's been fun. You know, it's my first day on air in the studio, so we were talking about energy, right? Like,
yes.
I'm here. I'm feeling energy. It's like a Monday for me.
We just heard Lotto talking about big energy with Mariah Carey.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Did you give me
the connection?
That snap was kind of patronizing. Like, what was that for?
I don't know.
Would you have done that to producer Shelby?
I do it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I do.
I'm teasing. Yeah,
actually,
I'm
you're
teasing.
Special. You're very special, Shar.
Okay, that sounds coded. Everything. I'm on the defense in here with you.
Oh, my God. We're going to be talking about personal rituals and why we need them over routine. But what's the difference between ritual and routine? And this is where actually Shar and I are coming together to bring you our woo-woo.
Yeah, because I don't know. It just sounds like you're swapping out an adjective, swapping out a word. So I wonder, what is the difference between ritual and routine?
Yeah, so we'll talk about it later and spilling our secrets. But let's get into some what's trending this hour and some tea coming up with, by the way, Shar around...
What my tea report
Johnny,
is about?
Is it Johnny Depp? There's some new Johnny Depp news?
I'm not talking about Johnny Depp. Shira is so horny for Johnny Depp news.
No, I'm not.
For the news, not
the
him.
Two things I'm just, like, fascinated by, Pete Davidson and Johnny Depp. Or, like,
now,
like
Pete,
that.
You know what? That's a different show. That's a different episode, different segment. Also, stick around because I will be giving away Demi tickets. So get ready to call in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, here it goes. Let's start with some news coming out of Baltimore. Fires at a Pride celebration in Baltimore have left two people in critical condition. One of them started when a Pride flag at a home was set on fire. And then someone set fire to a house down the street that was decorated for Pride. It's horrible. Police are investigating the fires as a case of malicious burning and have not determined a motive. Now, Christy Elan Kane is fighting a landmark battle for legal recognition, asking the UK government to provide ex-gender markers on passports for people who aren't male or female. Now, the Biden administration announced the U.S. would quickly be offering ex-gender markers on passport applications from April 2022. And U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the option will also become available for other forms of documentation next year. But the UK Supreme Court, the UK is... you know, has a ways to go, right?
In terms Parliament. Of the I think it's a beautiful sentiment, but it also makes me just a bit fearful. I try not to live in fear, but it makes me a bit fearful, you know, for people trying to target people, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you should have the choice. If that's how you feel, then you should do it.
But people are so radicalized now. Like, you know, you got to show your ID to get in the club or to buy a bottle. Or like, you never know who,
you never know who the person
who you're exposing yourself to. That's the only thing.
The UK Supreme Court dismissed the case in 2021 for this person, argued that making ex-gender markers in passports would have adverse implications for the security aspects for the use of the passports, which would result in substantial administrative costs.
So, and then what happens if you're traveling to a country that's not welcoming?
Well, that is true. I think that in that case, it needs to be on the person traveling. Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to travel somewhere where
you got to tell your boss, I actually cannot go to the UAE for this trip.
Assuming you wouldn't choose that place if you know that.
Well, I'm saying if it's for work purposes. You never know.
Of course, yes.
You never know.
Moving on to what's happening here in the U.S. as the January 6th hearings are underway, there are others, specifically the GOP, that seem to be protecting a certain group of people. Here is Representative Troy Nels during a House GOP presser asking for better treatment for suspected insurrectionists. Are you ready for this?
Citizens are being held for offenses related to January 6th, and some of these individuals have not been convicted of anything. They are being held pretrial with no bail being offered, and the DOJ, listen to me, the DOJ continues to treat these individuals like one would expect of a convicted terrorist.
Okay. Well, they are domestic terrorists. Okay, that was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news?
Shira, girl, Netflix is so desperate for content, if you ask me. Because guess what they're rolling out? First of all, let me ask. Well, I was going to ask, did you watch Squid Games? But you don't watch TV,
no,
so I
can't
ask you.
No, I do sometimes. That was too nerve-wracking for me. That was all about death and playing the game of life, people being murdered. No.
It gave me like Saw vibes. I never watched it either. Producer Shelby, did you watch Squid Game?
No, I didn't. I wanted to for the purposes of being a television studies person in school, but I just never got around to it. It seemed like too much for me.
Yeah, I hate being left out of a movement. Everyone was talking about this at one point, and I couldn't chime in, but nevertheless, Netflix is staging a real-life Squid Game series that's billed the biggest reality competition ever. They announced on Tuesday. Now, listen, while the stakes won't be life or death, presumably, Squid Game, the challenge, will have 456 players competing in a series of games for the chance to win a whopping $4.56 million. Netflix claims that the payout is the largest lump sum cash prize in TV history. Isn't that crazy?
That's where all the money went for the people that did anyone
all the layoffs. Yeah,
Netflix. But you know, this is smart though. They had to do something with the show.
Netflix,
the name.
Is their content is not the best right now. Everybody else, HBO Max, everybody else is like really
elevating,
doing it.
And they're just running into like competition shows, reality. They're getting into the reality thing.
Yeah, anyway. The ultimatum. Nevertheless, listen, we got your chance to see Demi Lovato September 28th at LA's YouTube Theater. Give Shira and I a call right now at 833-772-2557 if you want those ticks. Again, that's 833-772-2557 for your chance to go see Demi Lovato in September. And with that, that's the T Report, and we got more show for you coming up after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Okay, so... Yeah. Oh, were you going to say something, Shira?
No, I'm just so excited to get into the story.
You're so excited. Anyone listening, including Shira in studio, knows that I'm a huge Housewives fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I typically, I like the Jersey reunions, but I'm an Atlanta girl. I like Beverly Hills. I watch Potomac and Salt Lake City. Not in that order. That's not my ranking, but I do enjoy the Real Housewives franchise.
Have you listened to the Atlanta one?
Have I listened? Yes, that's where I first started with NeNe Leakes and Sheree and Lisa Wu Hartwell.
There's someone I'm working with on a project right now, and she said that she's known for being on the Atlanta one.
Really? Who is it?
Oh, my God. Let me look. All right. Wait. Her name is Tanya Sam?
Yeah, she's Canadian.
Yes. Yes. I was on a conference call with her.
Yes. Tanya Sam. She was definitely on. She left. Ooh, it was messy. You got to look up the Bolo clip. Okay. He's a male stripper.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Nevertheless, so Andy Cohen, who we know is the master puppeteer, the man responsible for Housewives, yep, hosts a show called Watch What Happens Live on Bravo, which typically follows the shows. Kyle Richards, who's a Beverly Hills housewife, who's also Kathy Hilton's sister. Did you know that? And she's Paris Hilton's aunt and a Capricorn.
Of course.
Let's take a listen. We're going to talk about secrets, but at first, I want you all to take a listen to what happened on the show last night.
How's the breast reduction working out?
Oh, thank you for letting everyone know, Andy. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I thought you've talked about it.
Never talked. By the way,
but you've told me about it so many times. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I text Andy all the time. I'm just going to say this. I never told anybody.
I am so
She told me in confidence. By the way, here's the thing about me.
So
you could tell me you murdered somebody, and I swear to you, I would take it to my grave.
Wow,
but I can't keep a secret about myself.
That is
I had a breast reduction surgery. I never
That is so true. A true blue Capricorn, like I mentioned. Because Kyle said that she would not tell if Andy even murdered someone. So, Shira, have you ever had a slip of the tongue? Because what Andy Cohen did was not intentional. He just assumed everyone already knew because Kyle and him text all the time. So have you ever had a slip of the tongue and exposed someone's secret on accident?
I feel like it wasn't, and this is not right for me to say because it's someone else's secret, but I never felt it was a secret that it was, if I did slip it, it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the most horrible thing, or like be a bad, or something traumatizing to someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe if it was like I heard they're dating, you know, I was like, oh yeah, oh, did you see, like, then I'll say something and I'll be like, oh, I mean, they're like, well, they didn't say anything to me. Did they say something to you? I go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Where it's maybe someone dating, I feel, or hooking up, like that's come out. But besides that, I do though, when, if someone does give me a secret, typically I don't say anything. Sometimes like my partner here and there, it's only usually with my partner that it will come out, right? Because like,
oh, like pillow talk, like you be telling your man my business.
Not but like, I feel like if there's anyone that I will share something with, sometimes it's my partner.
I know for me, I can acknowledge one of my most manipulative traits, because we all can be manipulative, is I can finagle secrets out of people. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, I just did a gig recently and I did it for free. They told me that they didn't have the budget or whatever. And I did it because of contractual obligations. Well, I found out that someone was being paid. So I had to go back to, you know, like,
paid more than you.
Well, no, I just said, how much did you get paid for this gig?
Oh, okay.
Like that type thing. Yeah. And they told me because they didn't know it was supposed to be a secret. Yeah. So it's been little stuff like that. I will say, if someone explicitly, if it's something heavy or like you mentioned, traumatic, or if someone explicitly makes it known that it's a secret, I'm not a slipper upper like that when it comes to other people's business or my own.
Because I do go by the, it's, I don't know if it's an adage, but you know, if you wouldn't do that in front of the person, don't do it behind the scenes.
Oh, I always
say
that.
I really try to challenge myself, even though that's sometimes hard.
I really try
to challenge myself.
I learned that in grade school. My mom did tell me, if you can't say it to their face, you don't need to be saying it behind their back. That's why everything I say it with my whole chest, because I have no issue saying it to your face, whoever's listening.
And also, my parents tend to, whatever I tell them, like, it doesn't go to my friends, my community, but I feel like it becomes like talk in their, like, table talk in their community, and then they're talking about people they don't even know.
Yeah, that's why you got to watch who you tell the secrets to. Yeah. It's a big game of telephone, and things can snowball out of control. There's nothing like violating someone's trust. You violate my trust, you'll never get it again.
Note taken. I feel like on reality shows, but I feel like on reality shows, this is what they know this is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
They know it's going to happen.
Of course.
At any rate, you know, she's like the brunette Hilton. You could see that she looks exactly the same as the other Hilton.
Yeah.
She's a brunette. Next up, ritual versus routine. Which is better for us? We navigate that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
A lot of people try to figure out a ritual or routine that works for them to change their life. We see this on social media, the rituals and routines of the rich and famous.
Yes.
You want to be successful, follow these routines and rituals. The thing is, routines and rituals get thrown in together when they're actually two different things. So, one, let's talk about what makes them different, and let's also go into our own.
Okay.
So, when you say a routine and ritual, I feel like a routine is like, I routinely brush my teeth at this time. I wash my face, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like these simple actions I do.
Right.
It's pretty much like a system
yes.
of how I work and how I do things,
mm-hmm.
right? It's routine. I come here at X time every day.
It's routine to come to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A ritual for me, and I've had this conversation before, is something that is more mindful and intentional, right? It's not like I just eat dinner at this time. It's that I'm making this into a ritual. I'm going to do the table. I'm
yes.
going to put candles down. I'm going to say a prayer. That is a ritual.
That is a ritual. I'm thinking about one of the newest rituals I just implemented in my life is when I'm not at Channel Q and I'm freelancing and doing other projects. When I have lunch, everything shuts down. There is no phone. There is no email. I take that time to eat my lunch. Also, you know, with my journaling, I used to pre-pandemic, I don't know what happened, but pre-pandemic, I used to, as soon as I woke up, I'd roll flat on my back and say a prayer as soon as I woke up.
Beautiful.
But I don't do that anymore.
What happened?
I don't know. Chaos of life. I don't know.
Hey, just
recalibrating my nervous system.
Get it going again.
Yeah,
That's a reminder.
I do. But yes, my routine. Yes, I have a routine. I have a nighttime routine and a morning routine when it comes to like, oh, serums and moisturizers and you know, micellar water and chapstick.
What's that?
It like dissolves your makeup gently so that you're not scrubbing and tugging and getting wrinkles.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really gentle. You should look into it.
Hey, okay. All right. Well, what about, so your ritual is the lunch thing.
That's one of the newest ones. But yeah, I also think about like when it comes to like bath time, like sometimes I'll just put some lavender. Michaela always makes fun of me for this. This is Michaela from The Morning Beat.
What does she say?
Because she knows that I'm a huge essential oil girl. And so sometimes when I get in the shower in the morning, I'll put a little essential oil at the top of like the wall because it'll then drip down.
This sounds amazing.
It'll drip down and then the steam hits it. And so it's like, okay, it smells like eucalyptus and lavender and lemongrass in my shower, which kind of counteracts my body wash because my body wash right now is like coconut based. But it helps wake me up and I feel like it helps also to center me. So yes, those are some clear examples, I guess, of ritual versus routine.
That
me.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
Make me want to do some of that tonight. I got to watch the Kardashians in a bath.
Me?
That is...
When I got home last night, I tried to turn on the Kardashians and it wasn't uploaded to my Hulu. It's so strange. So I'm going to watch it today. But what are some of yours?
Well, I've been better, right? I've been better at these things.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, typically, I do have the ritual of waking up and meditating and visualizing my day. And I like have my... these note cards where I say all my, not just affirmations, but like the things that my goals, but they're as if they're happening. Right.
Yeah, so
I say that I try to do that every day. That for me is a ritual. And then
it's like actionable. You're not saying I want to have a good day.
You're saying I'm having a good day. Or like I'm right now. My radio show has hundreds of thousands of listeners and a million downloads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, and I'm and other affirmations too. And then something I actually do with my partner. We're getting into cheesy territory here.
Do you have any friends outside of your partner?
It's just actually too many.
It's just y'all two for the
many.
Long haul.
But,
my goodness.
But I do love this one. But you know, at the end of the day, we used to say like what we're grateful for and our intention the next day. In the morning, we always say, I choose you. That's what we do. And you know what? It's helpful because even when if I get annoyed, I'm like, oh, I choose you. Fine. Yes. Okay. All right. I'm letting it go.
I've seen examples of end of day, like families doing like, what was your high point and low point? They don't word it like that, but that's basically they're asking.
Producer Shelby.
You brought up manifesting, and I would like to share something that I did.
Ooh.
So, as you know, I just finished my undergrad, and I was in what you call a capstone class. And at the end of that class, we had to write a professional biography.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of that professional biography, I wrote that I got this job before I got the job.
Yes.
I submitted the assignment before I knew I got the job. So...
So what exactly is a capstone class? I've never heard this term.
I've never heard that.
It's
before.
Basically just like everything you've learned wrapped into one. It's like project based. So it's like we'll take basic things you've learned throughout your schooling.
Oh, and like a culmination project.
Yeah.
Okay.
It works.
It worked, I guess.
I never refuted manifestation. I believe that prayer is a manifestation. It's all synonymous, but it depends on how you approach it.
Totally. I've been that person where, and we're going to wrap soon. For people that are like, oh, here it goes, this conversation.
I mean, maybe they need to manifest some patience.
How's your life going?
Because Shira and Shar are running the show today.
Well, you know, it changed because I've always been that person to do goals and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But recently this year, I shifted a bit. And I feel like this has been a pretty incredible year and or our time. And even with when I found my relationship, I shifted into really thinking about how do I want to feel in this, like with this experience or this person, and like really visualizing it, constantly speaking about it and to it. And that focus and clarity, I'm telling you, starts drawing in the energy. It won't necessarily happen overnight.
That's why it is so imperative to stay present. So many of us live in the future or live in the past, and we don't live present in the moment.
Well, that and like so the mixture between the feeling into like what you want and as if you have it now, mm-hmm. and showing up like how you want to be in that, and then gratitude.
My former therapist, I still haven't done this, but he wanted me to write down all of the things that I have accomplished, which I think I'm going to do in the name of my LAversary. 8 years in LA. I've done quite a lot, and it's easy to forget. I was looking at my Instagram, and I saw when I went to the Respect premiere, and I was like, oh my, I totally forgot that I took a picture with Jennifer Hudson.
Isn't that amazing?
EGOT winning Jennifer Hudson. And that was just in July. That was a year ago, and I totally forgot. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I'm someone who really talks about staying present in the moment. And typically I do, but I totally forgot that I took a picture with Jennifer Hudson last July.
Sometimes.
And it's a good one, too.
You gotta remember those moments because, we're so about like looking forward. Like, what did I not accomplish instead of looking at what we've actually done?
Well, that's why I journal. Journaling keeps me grounded. You know, I journal like a mad woman.
Yeah, journaling, I've been better at that too. I get to get into some of my things, but as long as you close your eyes, get grounded, visualize a bit, just know who you are. Feel good about it. So let us know what you do. Ritual Routines. At LGT Shows, where you can find us on social media. But we actually are going to be giving away some Demi Lovato tickets next.
Yes, we are. So pull on up.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
We'll see who wins.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
What's up? You're calling Let's Go There.
Hey, this is Louise.
Louise, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Riverside, California.
Oh, the IE, Inland Empire, right?
Hey, Char.
Hey, how you doing?
I just finished working out, getting ready for my wedding ball with my fiance, Steve, and listen to you guys every single day.
First of all, congratulations on your nuptials, your upcoming nuptials. That's amazing. And thanks so much for tuning in because we really appreciate it, Louise.
Yeah, you know, during COVID, there's a lot of time of not working. And even now with COVID, there's some downtime. And this show always gets me through my day and something to look forward to. So thank you guys.
That warms our heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you, because we really did. We be yelling into these microphones.
Yeah, we never know who's listening.
Yes. What's up? Did you just call to check in on Shira and I because we're lonely in studio?
Well, I came in to say hello. I was checking on those Demi Lovato tickets and seeing how the day's going.
Oh, yeah. We hear you. Well, guess what? What would happen if we tell you you won those Demi Lovato tickets?
Woo! Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome.
Who are you going to be taking?
You know what? My fiance, Steve, has such golden luck with meeting people. I think I'm going to surprise him and take him.
We've had
a tough couple 6 months budgeting, you know, with everything, all the high prices. So this will be a nice little date night for us.
Oh, good
Inflation
for you.
Inflation is getting us all. But congratulations, Louise. We got to get back to the show. But hang on to the line, though, because one of our producers is going to get your information so that we can get you those Demi tickets. It's nice talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I hope you have a great day.
You
Cheers.
Too. Thanks
you
for your
too.
Support.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Yes, it's Shira, but Shar is here filling in for Ryan in the studio.
Yep. It's a good day.
It is a good day. We were just talking about the crazy Riverdale actor that looks like a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Who supposedly was threatening to her had a plan to kill Prime Minister
Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
My own prime minister. I don't even know his name.
And this actor pled guilty to murdering his own mother. Trigger warning. Like,
dark.
How old is this person? Is this one of those things where he's like 35, but he looks 6?
No, I think this person in the photos looks very young.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have more on that story for you.
Can you Google the age in a moment? All right.
Yeah.
Coming up, more importantly, we're talking about
Biden's... He's 24.
Yeah. And those pictures, why do they take these pictures where he looks 12?
Well, that's because that's what he really looks like in real life.
Well, he wasn't just an old picture.
I mean,
when
in
he
fairness,
was in Riverdale?
Producer Shelby is in her early 20s, and she literally looks... You look like you could pass for. I give you a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I get going into bars and buying alcohol is very hard for me.
Yes.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know what? Like, you could be an actress because you are a certain age, but you play very young.
Oh,
just keep moisturizing and stay out of the sun.
Well, coming up in 30 minutes, more on Biden's executive order that will... plans to support trans youth. This is a really important thing, but we'll see if it actually does anything. Plus, Lady Gaga's new big screen role? Question mark. I'm not saying she actually has one. It's a question mark. That's in the tier report in a moment. Let's get into some what's trending this hour. So as we mentioned, the order from Biden will direct federal agencies to expand access to gender-affirming health care, deliver inclusive curriculums, and stamp out queer homelessness, among many other things.
Today, I'm about to sign an executive order that directs key federal agencies to protect our communities from those hateful attacks and advance equality for families. No one knows better than the people in this room. We have a lot more work to do. I don't have to tell you about the ultra-MAGA agenda attacking families and our freedoms. 300 discriminatory bills introduced in states across this country. In Texas, knocking on front doors to harass and investigate parents who are raising transgender children. In Florida, going after Mickey Mouse, for God's sake.
Give Mickey Mouse a break.
Biden's, it's all ridiculous.
Biden's order will create a new federal committee to lead data gathering efforts to give officials more insight into LGBTQ plus demographics in the states. More, again, coming up in 30 minutes. Now, Starbucks store managers have allegedly informed employees that its gender-affirming health care benefits could disappear if employees unionize. So an employee at a Starbucks in Oklahoma claimed her manager told her, just know that if you unionize, when you are negotiating your benefits, you could gain, you could lose, or you could stay the same. Basically a threat. Union Workers United accused the company of attempting to prevent its employees from organizing. Very unfortunate stuff there. And as we learned yesterday, COVID vaccines for children are under review, but DeSantis says Florida will not provide state programs to administer vaccines for toddlers or infants, making Florida the only state to do this. He added, these are the people who have zero risk of getting anything. That was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Shar?
Well, I don't know if Margot Robbie fans are going to like this. Turns out that it's being reported, as Shira teased, it's rumored, according to The Hollywood Reporter, that Lady Gaga might be playing Harley Quinn in the new Joker film.
Ooh.
And guess what? It's going to be a musical, reportedly. She'll be starring opposite Joaquin Phoenix, if this is true. How are you feeling about this, Shira?
Well, what happened to Margot Robbie? Because she doesn't sing.
Well, and, yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I mean, this is a Todd Phillips one, so it's not like they're trying to get Harley Quinn of the other movies that Harley Quinn is, right? Because there's, like, the whole Harley Quinn series that Margot Robbie plays, right? Or no?
Well, she only did one. That was for Birds of Prey.
See,
that was one spinoff.
Okay, so she did that spinoff.
It was Birds of Prey,
It makes sense. I'd be down to see Lady Gaga play this.
I don't know if I'm interested. You're not going to catch me in the theater watching a Joker musical.
No, this is something I would watch probably on an airplane.
No, I wouldn't even do that.
Or maybe on the weekend. Hi.
And listen, I love Stephanie Germanotta just as much as the next Channel Q listener, but I'm not interested in seeing this.
I'm sitting right next to her.
Now, if Gaga was reprising her role as the Countess and from American Horror Story, I'd watch that.
That stuff is too dark.
But
for me. That stuff gave me nightmares.
Okay, Shira.
No, it was really terrifying.
That was some of her best work.
It was good.
And I love Gaga's singing. I love Gaga's acting.
Totally.
I'm just not interested in this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
A lot of people try to figure out a ritual or routine that works for them to change their life. We see this on social media, the rituals and routines of the rich and famous.
Yes.
You want to be successful, follow these routines and rituals. The thing is, routines and rituals get thrown in together when they're actually two different things. So, one, let's talk about what makes them different, and let's also go into our own.
Okay.
So, when you say a routine and ritual, I feel like a routine is like, I routinely brush my teeth at this time. I wash my face, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like these simple actions I do.
Right.
It's pretty much like a system
yes.
of how I work and how I do things,
mm-hmm.
right? It's routine. I come here at X time every day.
It's routine to come to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A ritual for me, and I've had this conversation before, is something that is more mindful and intentional, right? It's not like I just eat dinner at this time. It's that I'm making this into a ritual. I'm going to do the table. I'm
yes.
going to put candles down. I'm going to say a prayer. That is a ritual.
That is a ritual. I'm thinking about one of the newest rituals I just implemented in my life is when I'm not at Channel Q and I'm freelancing and doing other projects. When I have lunch, everything shuts down. There is no phone. There is no email. I take that time to eat my lunch. Also, you know, with my journaling, I used to pre-pandemic, I don't know what happened, but pre-pandemic, I used to, as soon as I woke up, I'd roll flat on my back and say a prayer as soon as I woke up.
Beautiful.
But I don't do that anymore.
What happened?
I don't know. Chaos of life. I don't know.
Hey, just
recalibrating my nervous system.
Get it going again.
Yeah,
That's a reminder.
I do. But yes, my routine. Yes, I have a routine. I have a nighttime routine and a morning routine when it comes to like, oh, serums and moisturizers and you know, micellar water and chapstick.
What's that?
It like dissolves your makeup gently so that you're not scrubbing and tugging and getting wrinkles.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really gentle. You should look into it.
Hey, okay. All right. Well, what about, so your ritual is the lunch thing.
That's one of the newest ones. But yeah, I also think about like when it comes to like bath time, like sometimes I'll just put some lavender. Michaela always makes fun of me for this. This is Michaela from The Morning Beat.
What does she say?
Because she knows that I'm a huge essential oil girl. And so sometimes when I get in the shower in the morning, I'll put a little essential oil at the top of like the wall because it'll then drip down.
This sounds amazing.
It'll drip down and then the steam hits it. And so it's like, okay, it smells like eucalyptus and lavender and lemongrass in my shower, which kind of counteracts my body wash because my body wash right now is like coconut based. But it helps wake me up and I feel like it helps also to center me. So yes, those are some clear examples, I guess, of ritual versus routine.
That
me.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
Make me want to do some of that tonight. I got to watch the Kardashians in a bath.
Me?
That is...
When I got home last night, I tried to turn on the Kardashians and it wasn't uploaded to my Hulu. It's so strange. So I'm going to watch it today. But what are some of yours?
I've been better, right? I've been better at these things.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, typically I do have the ritual of waking up and meditating and visualizing my day. And I like have my... these note cards where I say all my, not just affirmations, but like the things that my goals, but they're as if they're happening. Right.
Yeah, so
I say that I do try to do that every day. That for me is a ritual. And then
it's like actionable. You're not saying I want to have a good day.
No,
for
I'm having a good day. Or like I'm right now. My radio show has hundreds of thousands of listeners and a million downloads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, and I'm and other affirmations too. And then something I actually do with my partner. We're getting into cheesy territory here.
Do you have any friends outside of your partner?
It's just actually too many.
It's just y'all two for the
many.
Long haul.
But,
my goodness.
But I do love this one. But you know, at the end of the day, we used to say like what we're grateful for and our intention the next day. In the morning, we always say, I choose you. That's what we do. And you know what? It's helpful because even when if I get annoyed, I'm like, oh, I choose you. Fine. Yes. Okay. All right. I'm letting it go.
I've seen examples of end of day, like families doing like, what was your high point and low point? They don't word it like that, but that's basically they're asking.
Producer Shelby.
You brought up manifesting, and I would like to share something that I did.
Ooh.
So, as you know, I just finished my undergrad, and I was in what you call a capstone class. And at the end of that class, we had to write a professional biography.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of that professional biography, I wrote that I got this job before I got the job.
Yes.
I submitted the assignment before I knew I got the job. So...
So what exactly is a capstone class? I've never heard this term.
I've never heard that.
It's
before.
Basically just like everything you've learned wrapped into one. It's like project based. So it's like we'll take basic things you've learned throughout your schooling.
Oh, and like a culmination project.
Yeah.
Okay.
It works.
It worked, I guess.
I never refuted manifestation. I believe that prayer is a manifestation. It's all synonymous, but it depends on how you approach it.
Totally. I've been that person where, and we're going to wrap soon. For people that are like, oh, here it goes, this conversation.
I mean, maybe they need to manifest some patience.
How's your life going?
Because Shira and Shar are running the show today.
Well, you know, it changed because I've always been that person to do goals and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But recently this year, I shifted a bit. And I feel like this has been a pretty incredible year and or our time. And even with when I found my relationship, I shifted into really thinking about how do I want to feel in this, like with this experience or this person, and like really visualizing it, constantly speaking about it and to it. And that focus and clarity, I'm telling you, starts drawing in the energy. It won't necessarily happen overnight.
That's why it is so imperative to stay present. So many of us live in the future or live in the past, and we don't live present in the moment.
Well, that and like so the mixture between the feeling into like what you want and as if you have it now, mm-hmm. and showing up like how you want to be in that, and then gratitude.
My former therapist, I still haven't done this, but he wanted me to write down all of the things that I have accomplished, which I think I'm going to do in the name of my LAversary. 8 years in LA. I've done quite a lot, and it's easy to forget. I was looking at my Instagram, and I saw when I went to the Respect premiere, and I was like, oh my, I totally forgot that I took a picture with Jennifer Hudson.
Isn't that amazing?
EGOT winning Jennifer Hudson. And that was just in July. That was a year ago, and I totally forgot. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I'm someone who really talks about staying present in the moment. And typically I do, but I totally forgot that I took a picture with Jennifer Hudson last July.
Sometimes.
And it's a good one, too.
You gotta remember those moments because, we're so about like looking forward. Like, what did I not accomplish instead of looking at what we've actually done?
Well, that's why I journal. Journaling keeps me grounded. You know, I journal like a mad woman.
Yeah, journaling, I've been better at that too. I get to get into some of my things, but as long as you close your eyes, get grounded, visualize a bit, just know who you are. Feel good about it. So let us know what you do. Ritual Routines. At LGT Shows, where you can find us on social media. But we actually are going to be giving away some Demi Lovato tickets next.
Yes, we are. So pull on up.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
We'll see who wins.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
What's up? You're calling Let's Go There.
Hey, this is Louise.
Louise, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Riverside, California.
Oh, the IE, Inland Empire, right?
Hey, Char.
Hey, how you doing?
I just finished working out, getting ready for my wedding ball with my fiance, Steve, and listen to you guys every single day.
First of all, congratulations on your nuptials, your upcoming nuptials. That's amazing. And thanks so much for tuning in because we really appreciate it, Louise.
Yeah, you know, during COVID, there's a lot of time of not working. And even now with COVID, there's some downtime. And this show always gets me through my day and something to look forward to. So thank you guys.
That warms our heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you, because we really do. We be yelling into these microphones.
Yeah, we never know who's listening.
Yes. What's up? Did you just call to check in on Shira and I because we're lonely in studio?
Well, I came in to say hello. I was checking on those Demi Lovato tickets and seeing how the day's going.
Oh, yeah. We hear you. Well, guess what? What would happen if we tell you you won those Demi Lovato tickets?
Woo! Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome.
Who are you going to be taking?
You know what? My fiance, Steve, has such golden luck with meeting people. I think I'm going to surprise him and take him.
We've had
a tough couple 6 months budgeting, you know, with everything, all the high prices. So this will be a nice little date night for us.
Oh, good
Inflation
for you.
Inflation is getting us all. But congratulations, Louise. We got to get back to the show. But hang on to the line, though, because one of our producers is going to get your information so that we can get you those Demi tickets. It's nice talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I hope you have a great day.
You
Cheers.
Too. Thanks
you
for your
too.
Support.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Yes, it's Shira, but Shar is here filling in for Ryan in the studio.
Yep. It's a good day.
It is a good day. We were just talking about the crazy Riverdale actor that looks like a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Who supposedly was threatening to her had a plan to kill Prime Minister
Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
My own prime minister. I don't even know his name.
And this actor pled guilty to murdering his own mother. Trigger warning. Like,
dark.
How old is this person? Is this one of those things where he's like 35, but he looks 6?
No, I think this person in the photos looks very young.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have more on that story for you.
Can you Google the age in a moment? All right.
Yeah.
Coming up, more importantly, we're talking about
Biden's... He's 24.
Yeah. And those pictures, why do they take these pictures where he looks 12?
Well, that's because that's what he really looks like in real life.
Well, he wasn't just an old picture.
I mean,
when
in
he
fairness,
was in Riverdale?
Producer Shelby is in her early 20s, and she literally looks... You look like you could pass for. I give you a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I get going into bars and buying alcohol is very hard for me.
Yes.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, you could be an actress because you are a certain age, but you play very young.
Oh,
just keep moisturizing and stay out of the sun.
Well, coming up in 30 minutes, more on Biden's executive order that will... plans to support trans youth. This is a really important thing, but we'll see if it actually does anything. Plus, Lady Gaga's new big screen role? Question mark. I'm not saying she actually has one. It's a question mark. That's in the tier report in a moment. Let's get into some what's trending this hour. So as we mentioned, the order from Biden will direct federal agencies to expand access to gender-affirming health care, deliver inclusive curriculums, and stamp out queer homelessness, among many other things.
Today, I'm about to sign an executive order that directs key federal agencies to protect our communities from those hateful attacks and advance equality for families. No one knows better than the people in this room. We have a lot more work to do. I don't have to tell you about the ultra-MAGA agenda attacking families and our freedoms. 300 discriminatory bills introduced in states across this country. In Texas, knocking on front doors to harass and investigate parents who are raising transgender children. In Florida, going after Mickey Mouse, for God's sake.
Give Mickey Mouse a break.
Biden's, it's all ridiculous.
Biden's order will create a new federal committee to lead data gathering efforts to give officials more insight into LGBTQ plus demographics in the states. More, again, coming up in 30 minutes. Now, Starbucks store managers have allegedly informed employees that its gender-affirming health care benefits could disappear if employees unionize. So an employee at a Starbucks in Oklahoma claimed her manager told her, just know that if you unionize when you are negotiating your benefits, you could gain, you could lose, or you could stay the same. Basically a threat. Union Workers United accused the company of attempting to prevent its employees from organizing. Very unfortunate stuff there. And as we learned yesterday, COVID vaccines for children are under review, but DeSantis says Florida will not provide state programs to administer vaccines for toddlers or infants, making Florida the only state to do this. He added, these are the people who have zero risk of getting anything. That was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Shar?
Well, I don't know if Margot Robbie fans are going to like this. Turns out that it's being reported, as Shira teased, it's rumored, according to The Hollywood Reporter, that Lady Gaga might be playing Harley Quinn in the new Joker film.
Ooh.
And guess what? It's going to be a musical, reportedly. She'll be starring opposite Joaquin Phoenix, if this is true. How are you feeling about this, Shira?
Well, what happened to Margot Robbie? Because she doesn't sing.
Well, and, yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I mean, this is a Todd Phillips one, so it's not like they're trying to get Harley Quinn of the other movies that Harley Quinn is, right? Because there's like the whole Harley Quinn series that Margot Robbie plays, right? Or no?
Well, she only did one. That was for Birds of Prey.
See,
that was one spinoff.
Okay, so she did that spinoff.
It was Birds of Prey,
It makes sense. I'd be down to see Lady Gaga play this.
I don't know if I'm interested. You're not going to catch me in the theater watching a Joker musical.
No, this is something I would watch probably on an airplane.
No, I wouldn't even do that.
Or maybe on the weekend. Hi.
And listen, I love Stephanie Germanotta just as much as the next Channel Q listener, but I'm not interested in seeing this.
I'm sitting right next to her.
Now, if Gaga was reprising her role as the Countess and from American Horror Story, I'd watch that.
That stuff is too dark.
But
for me. That stuff gave me nightmares.
Okay, Shira.
No, it was really terrifying.
That was some of her best work.
It was good.
And I love Gaga's singing. I love Gaga's acting. Totally. I'm just not interested in this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.